Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of OPA. This is number 6. Ooh, baby, we're getting somewhere, Ken.
Lucky number 6. We made it. They said we wouldn't get here. But we did it. We proved those guys wrong.
We have defied the odds. We have done this 6 different times. And for all of your good pleasure, you get to hear us ramble about, well, epic rap battles, which Ken brought to my attention. And my amusement for this topic, really, aside from the actual video itself, is the fact that you took me back to the halcyon days of Idiot Intern, because he was always badgering me to listen to the epic rap battles on YouTube, because he would sit there and just all day at work, like, he just listened to different epic rap battles just, like, continuously at work.
Wow. Sounds like he was pretty productive.
Yes, very productive at watching epic rap battles. So, that part cracked me up. Bringing him back up was pretty funny.
So now you see what you missed out on by not taking up your intern on his suggestion.
Well, I may have missed a couple of things. I'm not that big of a YouTuber, actually, so that stems from part of my problem.
Yeah, I get it, Grandpa.
Yeah, I like my TV the old-fashioned way, on TV. Like, I don't know why, but I am kind of grandpa-ish in that department.
In,
like,
my day, the TV was on the TV, and we liked it. It was good enough for us, and it should be good enough for these kids today.
I'm going to lead the crusade to make sure that YouTube shows everything in black and white.
Wow, that's going pretty far.
Yep.
You're going to do like a reverse Ted Turner there. Remember when he was colorizing some black and white movies? You just want to black and white everything.
Yep, I'm going to go ahead and black and white everything.
That would make, I'm just thinking, The Wizard of Oz would be a lot less dramatic when she gets to Oz, right? Because it would still be black and white.
Yeah, it would take a little bit of punch out of The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's really not the director's vision there. You might get some people calling foul, but, you know, that we'll get to that, what do you say? We'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
Well, we do a good job at burning bridges, so.
Indeed.
And tally one doo-doo for me.
A doo-doo?
Yeah, I just said doo-doo.
Okay. Are we at risk of losing our family-friendly rating on here if you say doo-doo too many times?
No.
I just said it. Gotta tell you that one. All right. So far, 1-1.
Okie dokie. Well, I think we should actually get to the epic rap battle in question then.
Yeah.
After talking about my love for YouTube.
Yeah, so this was a pretty recent one, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But like 9 days ago at this point, it was birthed.
Oh, okay. I did not pay attention to its birth, so that's pretty damn funny.
It's gotten about 11 million some views, so apparently it's pretty popular. With the
nobody's watching YouTube, dude. It's not where you want to be.
It's with those who believe that TV can be somewhere else besides TV. Yeah. So, what was your impression of this?
Oh, okay. Well, the rap battle itself, mind you, will probably be up on
the
page
say,
anyway.
I guess, who were the contestants here? Yeah.
The obvious one, or the more known one, I should say, would be Superman.
Sure.
And
he starts things off.
Yeah, he starts things off, which is appropriate. And he is up against Goku of Dragon Ball Z fame.
Yeah.
And that topic is always near and dear to our hearts, just because we watched entirely too much Dragon Ball Z. Like, you actually set up the VCR
right
to tape that show because neither of us would be there because it was, like, right after work or during work.
Yeah, talk about being old.
Yeah.
This is before we had
I'll drag you down with me. Don't worry about it. One way or the other.
This is before DVRs were invented, kids. Somebody had to actually program a VCR to record the show. And then, like...
Well, and I don't feel like it wasn't that easily programmable at that point.
No.
Like, it was kind of a pain in the ass.
It really was, yeah. You had to go through a lot of different menus and button pushes, and for the people who don't remember, VCRs were notoriously difficult to program. That was a running joke for a lot of comedy there. People, not being able to program their VCRs, it being too complicated. Everyone's VCR is just blinking 12 because they can't set the time on it. So imagine trying to actually program, because, setting the time, sure. Step one, good luck, you got that far. Pat yourself on the back. You still got to program the thing somehow. And, it was a nightmare.
Well, yeah, I mean, I never bothered to do it. I guess that's why I brought it up. Like, I'm not sure that I was that into anything, to be bothered with that. Like, it was just too much of a pain in the ass. I'm like, oh, fuck it, I'll catch it eventually, I guess it just didn't bother. So you brought the dedication, I guess, out in that. Granted, I viewed all of it, but...
And we were watching some of the Japanese ones that were on one of the local channels. Untranslated, yeah.
Oh, I completely forgot about that phase. Those were pretty cool. Just because they were uncut too. Like the video was true. Uncut.
Yeah, they would show blood and things.
Yeah, they'd show the blood, and there were just little parts that were taken out in the American version that didn't get taken out in that one either.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never anything like gigantic scenes, but it was always kind of things here and there.
And I believe I showed you some of the, I wish I remember what it was called. It was like the new Dragon Ball Z, like they went through and like cut out a lot of the filler and just kind of get to the good parts. But it's not Japanese. It's, they re-recorded all the American language and then actually put in like more direct translations of the Japanese, so like everything sounds cooler, basically.
So they kind of remastered it in their own little way,
basically re-recorded and then like cut out like a lot of the boring stuff, so it's just like gets right to it. So it's much improved. Because I remember when that came out on DVD, they put like 3 episodes on 1 DVD. And it's like, wait a minute, you got to buy a whole new DVD. And, you know, DVDs were not the cheapest things. I don't know. You had to pay like 15, 20 bucks for just 3 episodes. It's crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah, no.
We really liked that show, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, no, maybe I guess that's why I brought that one up.
I feel like it was like the first show that they had episodic content. Like, it built, the story was like, so long that would go over all these episodes, and it was like you would kind of see people progress and change, which they really, it feels like you didn't really see that anywhere else on television at the time.
Maybe I'm crazy, but cartoons definitely didn't run that way. Although the anime did run more that way, and really during that time frame, I watched more anime during that time frame than I have before and since. Like, it was like a 4-year period where I was just watching just the boatload of it, not just Dragon Ball. And they kind of had more of a way of doing more of a storytelling, because I remember watching The Big O, which was kind of this weird mystery thing with gigantic robots.
Yeah.
Gundam Wing.
Giant robots.
Giant robots again.
Voltron?
No. No, I have watched some Voltron in the meantime, and it's kind of brutal.
Now, that's an interesting story, too. We're getting a little off topic, but I don't know if I ever told you. I read about that was actually a totally different cartoon in Japan. like, it wasn't called Voltron. It was like Lion Force Go or something. And they just bought the animation, and they totally like re-recorded their own script over top of it to be like this Voltron story that they came up with to sell toys.
Oh my gosh. No, I did not know that.
Yes.
That's not surprising.
Well, yeah, yeah. Way, shape, I mean, when you go back and look at it, you're like, this makes perfect sense, because the scenes just didn't really fit up together sometimes, you know, because these people had like, they were all different characters, like they just kind of pasted it all together. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was even worse. Like, I guess the only thing I can even think to compare it to is C-Lab 2021.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where they used old animation and re-recorded over it, but they probably did a better job of, or at least they, in some ways, tried to hide, you know, the different mouth gestures, because there's only so much that you can match.
Yeah, I feel like eventually on that show, they just went towards really just doing their own animations.
Yeah. The beginning, it was almost like South Parkian. Like, they only did the cardboard cutouts, like, that first episode, and then after that, it was, no, you know.
I did like the original look. I think that was for the one with the giant squid was attacking C-Lab. That was a classic.
Yeah.
Anyway... So, yeah, epic rap battle, Goku versus Superman. And what did you think? I mean, some pretty funny lines in there, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's entertaining, and I guess I wasn't completely blown away by it.
No.
And I
think it's more the idea of it than the actual execution of it.
But I don't know why, and, well, I know I enjoy Goku better... But I've never really been that big of a Superman fan, because it just never made any sense to me. I'm like, what kind of fun is this superhero who's only allergic to one stone?
Right.
Like, it just seemed like he had just such enormous power and just such a little flaw that it was kind of ridiculous that he ever got into any type of peril. So, I mean...
And he's like a, you know... He didn't really earn any of his strength, right? I mean, he was just born with these superpowers. He doesn't really ever have to, like, train, preparing for fights or anything, does he?
No, they never really show him going to a gym or anything like that. Like,
so he doesn't have to work for his strength, like Goku, on the other hand. You know, for those not familiar, is like, he's always having to work out to fight these new enemies that are coming, you know? Get stronger and stronger as the series progresses.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it eventually gets kind of out of control, but right. I mean, it was, again, you kind of talked about the episodic television. I mean, there was, to me, a little more build-up for Goku, and yeah, you seemed like, or at least you thought that he earned it with the way they wrote the TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he kind of started out as a talented individual, but then turned it into something even more powerful by continuing right. to work at it.
And weirdly, they ended up going with a similar thing. Like, he was, they kind of, you know, when they started out the manga, I don't think that they intended to have Goku be an alien from another world. That's why he has this tail, and that's why he has these powers. But they kind of... retconned that in there later on to kind of like continue the story, which was basically when it became Dragon Ball Z in Japan.
Right.
But so he basically has a similar backstory to Superman, in that he was from another planet with super strength, but they also said that he was actually born to a low ranking caste of the Saiyans, at least according to Vegeta.
Oh yeah. Oh, Vegeta. Everybody loves Vegeta.
He's awesome. His power level is over 9,000. I don't know if anyone's seen that video. It's over 9,000. And yeah, so but he was born with strength to a certain degree, but he was still like, he started out as like kind of the lower rung of this super race, I guess, and he kind of like had to work his way up to be, I don't know, the most powerful fighter in the known universe.
Yeah, well, in the universe at some point, although they always seem to try and trump him and what was Cell the first guy to really put an end to that reign?
Yeah, because Goku actually didn't finish Cell. It was his son Gohan.
Yeah,
who took him out in that one. But yeah, I don't know. They sort of he sort of backpedaled after that. Gohan never really reached those heights again.
Oh,
to be the main babyface of Dragon Ball Z.
Yep, I always love when we slip some wrestling lingo in there, like it's gonna matter.
Because you know, yeah, Vegeta was the big heel there for the first season, and then he ended up making a turn to actually become a face. But
yeah, the baby face turn.
So they had to keep coming up with new bad guys all the time because the former bad guys would become his friends, which was kind of a nice thing, I think. Like, you never see that in Superman, really.
No, well, there's no reformation in most comics, I would say. Like, if
that's
you're
a better
evil,
message for kids, you know?
You're evil. Like, there's, yeah, I guess you could say they were teaching that people can change their way.
Yeah, like Vegeta. The prince of all Saiyans. He starts out as a haughty bastard, but then he kind of gets humbled there several times. And kind of
did the
back.
Sheik humble him?
The Sheik?
Yeah, the Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik?
I will humble you.
Oh, you know what? That I think that was kind of implied, you know, during the time when he was training to be a Super Saiyan. I think he...
when
it
he
was implied
was
he
in,
went to train with the Iron Sheik. They didn't
what
show
was
it.
Nami's...
oh...
Whose special Kami. Room is Kami's?
Kami's lookout there.
Yeah, Kami's lookout.
He had the he was the god of Earth, apparently. And his little buddy, Mr. Popo, who was oh boy, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. we're getting a little lost with the with this.
We could go on. We could have our own Dragon Ball Z podcast.
Yeah, it would be completely unnecessary.
Yes.
And entirely too late.
Yes. No one would care.
So anyway, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was kind of funny. I obviously, like I said, since I like Goku over Superman, I kind of enjoyed his lines more.
Yeah, I thought the special effects for Goku were pretty cool. Like, I don't know how big a budget these guys have, but I think they pulled it off pretty well. for a YouTube video, at least.
Yeah, no, they've gone this long. Like, the laundry list of extra epic rap battles that you could look at was kind of endless. Like,
you know, I think my brother first brought this to my attention because it was like a Rasputin rap battle, I think. Which I thought it was pretty funny, just by itself.
Of course, it was he sends you something about Rasputin.
Well, naturally.
Oh, man. I would expect nothing less out of him.
That's what brothers are for.
Yep. Well, definitely us and our brothers had something in common. We played a lot of video games.
True.
And
some of which were played at places called arcades.
Yeah, to yet again show our status of children of the 80s, we went to arcades quite often. And this guy wrote a story.
Which is kind of a bragging thing, but it's kind of like acknowledging that this is like a super nerdy thing to be proud of. But it is kind of impressive, I guess.
Yeah, there is a little humble bragness to this column, but I gave him a pass just because I know I played Dragon's Lair a lot.
And that's what this story's about, this guy's skill at playing and beating Dragon's Lair. Which was a frustrating game to play.
Yeah, and, you know, as he's telling the story, I'm just sitting there going, I honestly, because he was talking about how frustrating it was and how you couldn't get the guides back then. And if you did get something, you had to...
He ended up mailing it away to get something from, like, the back of a comic book or something he saw.
Yeah, which those things were not the most dependable, let's say.
Right, you had no... It was not like you got a confirmation email, like, immediately that your order was received and it's, you know, on its way.
And you, as an 8-year-old, were not whipping out your credit card or mom's credit card, because, really, credit cards were not all that common at that point.
You had to, like, send a check or something. Like
check or money order or just plain money.
Yeah, you had to go to the post office. That's crazy. So this guy was really into it to have to go through and do all this.
Yeah, so yeah, he got a guide, but I mean, I never remember trying to do anything like that until, like, I guess I didn't worry about that stage of kind of beating games until...
Do you remember playing Dragon Slayer?
Yeah, I definitely remember playing it.
Being frustrated with it?
No, that was the one thing. Like, I remember for sure that I played it, but I don't remember being pissed at that or the other game that he brought up, which was quite similar, Space Ace.
Yeah.
and that just, I was just like, huh. Like, I guess I'd be hard-pressed to remember a lot of the difficulties of some of the games.
So I guess we should say that these games were both, rather than, like, having pixels... different colored pixels moving around on the screen. It was all pre-drawn animation, like a hand-drawn animation, like like the cartoons of the day, basically.
Yeah, the way the guy broke it down is that it was essentially just a choose-your-way book.
Yes. without clear-cut, I should say, without like clear-cut points where it tells you, like, make a choice. You just have to know to make a choice. At the time when you're supposed to make, because it only reads your input at a certain time, so you have to, like, push it at the right time and do the right move at the right time when it's not clear that you should be doing anything, really.
Right, yeah, because there was sword, up, and down.
Well, you could move, I think, up, down, left, right, and then there was the sword button.
Yeah, so you only have 5 choices, really.
Yeah, and I think sometimes there'd be, like, a flash on the screen that would kind of tell you that you could do something.
Oh,
but I
okay.
feel like that wasn't all the time. That wasn't there all the time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, do you remember any more about playing it? I mean, were you frustrated mm-hmm. playing this game like this guy talked about?
Oh, I remember wanting to beat it so bad because it was just cool looking. Like, it was like you're controlling a real cartoon character, you know.
And that's why I remember playing it. It was just so different than anything else out at that time period, and really anything else after it. Like, I mean, the graphics have obviously improved vastly over the years.
Yeah.
But nothing kind of had that kind of that cartoon look to it. Like, in some ways, I was almost surprised that somebody hadn't tried to reprise a similar idea.
Huh. Yeah, that would be interesting. Like, because today, I'm sure you could, have a game where you actually were controlling in real time this thing that looked like a cartoon, like a 2D cartoon.
Oh, right.
I mean, that would be kind of interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I mean, maybe now it would be a little outdated to control something in a... Well, I don't know. I guess I still even play some... The only games I play are still 2D, basically.
Yeah, no. It wouldn't be like a blockbuster or anything.
Right.
I think there might be a niche out there for people who are into that kind of thing.
So,
So we're giving that to the internet, all right? If somebody wants to make that game, just tweet at us, let us know, and we will be happy to test play it for you.
Is that our poll for this week?
Wait, what was the question for that poll?
Should we give away the rights to a New Age Dragon's Lair game?
Yeah, you know what, though? I feel like I kind of might have screwed the pooch on that one, because I already kind of said that they could take it. Maybe we could edit that part out. I'm sure we'll go back and edit that out.
Phillips. But one of the amusing things about this article, is there anything else about the gameplay that you could really add? I guess, other than, you know...
It was really cool looking.
Yeah. And
it was the kind of thing, like, when you're playing in it at the arcade, that people would kind of, like, watch to see what you were doing and, like... Because it was just unique.
Yeah, and this guy ends up getting the guide, and it did have good information in it, and it cracked me up the end of his story, because he is on vacation somewhere. He didn't remember
part that I think you're skipping over that freaked me out is that his dad. For his birthday.
Oh shit, yeah, I shouldn't have skipped this part.
He actually like got him an arcade cabinet of the game that he wanted. Space Ace, but then they found out that they could switch out the Laserdisc and the ROM cartridge, and then like it would play Dragon Slayer as well. So he had both of those games in his house.
Yeah.
Which is pretty badass.
And I guess I thought a couple of things. He said that he believed his dad spent $300 on it. I'm like, motherfucker, why'd my parents never get one? Like,
that was a lot of money back then, though.
It was a lot of money back then.
Yeah, I mean, inflation's no joke.
Inflation's a bitch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I still thought that, like, to me, in relation to buying, like, a Nintendo, really, which I would imagine probably was in the same price range, it seems so much cooler.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a Nintendo was cheaper than that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, like, 100, 200, something like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I you know what? I'm gonna look it up. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okie dokie. well, I guess it always seemed really cool to me. Our neighbors had a video game. They had Miss Pac-Man in their basement.
Oh, that's nice.
And I just always thought that was the coolest thing to have. Like, I didn't give a shit really. Like, I wasn't that big of a Pac-Man fan or a Miss Pac-Man fan, but I still played it because it was kind of cool. It was really cool that our neighbors had a real live video game in their basement.
Yeah, I mean, that would be... I mean, because now you kind of see it somewhat, you know, like it's... But back then it was like, that was only something you saw in the arcades. It was like, still like a real thing that people would go and do. Like now it's kind of like a... You know, like
Are you going to talk about barcades again?
I don't think. I mean, again?
Well, yeah.
What?
The bar and arcade.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is that...
Well, you were talking about attractions, so I guess I thought it fit into the conversation there. I didn't mean to bring things to a screeching halt.
It's like there's a Spanish Inquisition.
No, not the Spanish Inquisition.
I know nobody expects that. I just wanted to jump in and say that the introductory price for the U.S. Nintendo was $299 in 1985. Yes.
Okay.
So this is around the same time frame, I think. So you were correct in saying that it was about the same amount.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I don't know why. Like, you definitely had more options. Like, if you had bought something, I mean, he said that he could play multiple games, but really, if you would have bought a single game at that point, you would have had many more options on a Nintendo to play. Like, at some point, and I don't care what game it really was, like, I got bored with the game at some point.
Right. Yeah. No, you would definitely, like, get bored of.
Like, I can think of one game that I never got bored of.
Okay, let's hear this.
I loved playing Genghis Khan.
Oh my god, yeah, I remember that game.
Trying to conquer all the... conquer the known world.
For the original Nintendo.
Yeah, for the original Nintendo. Like, And it just seemed like there were enough variables that it always kept you guessing, and it was kind of a pain in the ass to win.
Because you could play four players at one time, like human players, right?
And you could play up to four human players.
Which was unusual for Nintendo games of that age.
Yeah, and sometimes you'd have to wait for... I'm trying to think of how long... I think you could skip someone's turn, but at some point, like...
Those games would go on for a while.
Yeah.
Because like, you would have, like, your... at some point, like, your son would take over for you. Like,
Yeah, well, yeah, you always had to make sure you had an heir to the throne.
Yes.
And you had to make sure that they were built up. That they were a sufficient leader. And you had to keep the people happy. Like, really, it kind of was like a way early SimCity that wasn't SimCity at all. Yeah, like, it was more of a war and strategy game, too, because you still did have to build certain weaponry and go out and attack people.
And you could, like, do little spy missions and things like that against other countries.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget about the spy missions. Yeah, like, because, I mean, I conquered the world a couple of times, but it was never an easy task.
Mm-hmm. Nor could it be.
So I guess I always enjoyed it because it just took time and it took some effort to get that done. Like some of the other games, like once you knew the moves, you could pretty much mow through games and it became boring at some point. You're like, okay, I've just like mowed through this like a dozen times. Like it's just kind of.
Yeah, because I'm trying to remember like the battles on Genghis Khan were always like on different terrains and like. Different kinds of troops you could pick to use. And...
Yeah, you could have archers and cavalry and knights and I think something else. So, I mean, and sometimes...
There's like a tactical battle part there where you would move your forces around and then attack with them and take turns with the other people. So
yeah, and you always had to make sure you took the right number of troops with you. Sometimes you just get outmanned even though you weren't expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like there was an element of surprise... But, you know, the other games were probably more fun in a way because they weren't as frustrating, but...
And Genghis Khan is a serious time commitment, I mean.
Yeah, like, and that's even, if you're not playing with anyone else, like, if you're playing four player, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Because you could save different games, and I just remember that having to be in a different slot because you couldn't always get everyone together all the time. Or someone's just making a couple of moves, and then you come in and make a couple of moves, and it just takes days.
And everybody has to think about what they're doing. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, you're not making a snap judgment. Like, oh, okay, I need to jump, go down the flower, and knock out the bad guy, you know. It's just, yeah, you kind of had to give it some thought, so like you weren't acting fast all the time.
Yeah. So to get back to this guy's story. He's been practicing. He's got all the moves. So he's able to beat the game. So, like, once you get to that point, I mean, it sounds like to him, too, he was not that excited by the game anymore, even though he could beat it at will.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was kind of over the game at that point.
Right.
But, yeah, and then the part that I was trying to jump ahead to... him and his family go on vacation. He couldn't remember exactly where. He thought it might have been Disneyland or somewhere else in California. And he went to the arcade. I guess he said it was a habit of checking out the arcade, which, trust me, I mean, if I went somewhere different, I always tried to figure out if there was an arcade in the insert mall here.
Right. It was like you know, imagine a world without app games. You know,
Yeah, or without home consoles, really. I definitely understood that. So he saw a Dragon's Lair at this arcade on his vacation, and he had played some other game and wasted money on it, but he knew that he could beat Dragon's Lair with just the the 50 cents, which was another funny thing, that the game cost 50 cents.
Yes.
That was another side note to this, because it had to have been one of the very earliest, if not the earliest, 50-cent game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, boy, speaking of 50 cent, did you see that first pitch?
Oh, that was pretty bad. Oh, man. And Ken goes for the smoothest. And I mean, we're going to bring this up as a topic, but I don't know what else to say. Like, that 50 Cent's first pitch yesterday.
Was that at the Mets game?
At the Mets game. It was the most horrific thing I've ever seen. Like, I don't.
I mean, we're talking Charlie Sheen in major league levels of throwing off.
Yeah, because you had asked me when we were talking about it right before the show if he had intentionally tried to do it. And after thinking about it again, like, it didn't look like he was really trying to gun the ball. Like, he didn't look like he was trying to throw it hard. So, I don't know how that went so tragically wrong. Like,
I did see he put out it.
I mean, my arm is terrible at this point because I haven't played softball in a couple of years. So, I mean, I would not be able to throw well. But I could at least throw with some modicum of accuracy. So I would not make a complete ass out of myself if I was famous enough to do that.
That would be something, though. Like, I don't know if it's... You know what the there might be a technical term for it, but like where you psych yourself out about stuff. Like, isn't there something where like catchers won't be able to throw back to the pitcher, or for some reason, like, they'll just have a mental block? But it could be that way for like just say yes.
I don't ever remember hearing about that. It's a possibility.
Thanks for backing me up, partner.
You're welcome. So, cock.
Yeah. Beer? Cock? So he really had a bad pitch there. And I would be afraid of that too. Like, I'd be afraid, I think, that I would mess up in some way. And like psych myself out, you know? Like, you have a lot of time to think about it before the game, right?
Well, first things... I guess I would make sure that I... you know, could throw the ball first. Like,
you would practice at
that time. They're not going to tell you, hey,
just watch it.
Lord.
Yeah, you guys can watch it on our the page there. But
yeah, if you haven't seen it already, oh my gosh.
Because it barely, like, comes out of his hand when it's like,
yeah, like crazy. I mean, he opens outside. Up his stance like it's I don't understand how you
yeah, it just like slips out like where his pinky and ring finger are, it seems like. I don't know how he did that.
Yeah, I mean, he's laughing about it, and he should realize that. Because, oh, were you going to mention something about his statement? Didn't he say, like, he knew it was horrendous or something like that?
He said something like, you guys better stop talking about my pitch or something. Like, if you put out, like, a Vine or an Instagram video. So he wasn't happy about the attention he was getting, I guess.
Oh, well, that's his own damn fault. Like, right.
And he should know that, you know, he's only asking for more mockery if he is trying to get people to stop saying stuff.
Yeah, no, I almost think he's just trolling just to get another reaction out of it.
No, I can like, see that, yeah.
Because just like, whatever, he's still sitting on a pile of cash. It's not a big deal.
No, he's not going to be too worried about it. I don't think he's going to cry himself to sleep too hard, you know?
Nor should he.
But, to wrap up that earlier story there. Sorry, we kind of had a parenthetical topic there in the midst of this other Dragon Slayer topic.
Oh, yeah. Because we didn't quite tell the end of that one.
Yeah, they... So the guy was there. He had his last 50 cents.
Yep.
He said, I'm not going to throw this away like 50 Cent will 20 some years from now. He had a vision, I think, of 50 Cent throwing out that pitch. And he said, I'm going to put this to, you know, where I know it's going to do some good. So he steps up to Dragon Slayer, and he proceeds to go past level by level, and he's really not even thinking about it. But he starts to notice there's, like, people watching him play the game. And, like, as he's getting progressing farther and farther along, like, he's getting more people behind him that he can tell are there to, like, see what is going to happen. Like, is he gonna be able to beat the game?
So. Yeah, no, and this is definitely a phenomenon that even if you play online, that you just don't quite have. Like, you can definitely have, you could probably have more of a person audience even online now, but to have it you know, be an in-person thing,
right,
is always a more intimidating.
Right, it's different because you know there's actually people there behind you. You can kind of get to feel, you can feel their eyes on you. But this guy apparently, yeah, did not feel any pressure because he had beaten this game so many times.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I like, it did crack me up. The cockiness that he ended this game with was, well, he gets to the final board with all five of his lives,
and he's facing the dragon in the eponymous lair.
And he, for show-off-y reasons, decides...
Right. He wants to give the people a show, I think.
Yeah, he wants to give the people a show. So he dies at various points, because I think there are a couple of moves that you need to pull off.
I thought he died, like, at the very last, like, challenge, where he had to swing the sword at the right time. I feel like he died there at the same spot.
Oh, okay. He kept dying.
He kept dying there like four times in a row.
Oh, okay. I guess to me, the impression was he kind of, there were a couple of spots you could lose on that layer or that level, and that, okay, he lost at various points along the way.
Well,
but we'll whatever. Never know. It's not, yeah, a big deal.
Yeah.
So
he intentionally loses all but one life.
All but one life. And then proceeds to slay the dragon.
And he says he did the equivalent of a comedian doing a mic drop and just input the last move, turned around, and walked away from the game. Not even staying to see the ending scene and the credits. Which... I guess it's kind of badass in a way. I mean, in a very limited way.
He went to say
that he was not proud of this, but he just thought it was an interesting story that people would enjoy.
If I would have gotten that kind of skilled at a game and done that, I certainly would have pulled a maneuver like that, and I would not have any shame about it. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. I don't understand why he didn't do this more often. I mean, maybe it was like the pressure was more than he thought. You know, he didn't enjoy the bright lights as much as he thought he would, I guess.
That would seem to be like a surefire way, at least for another year or two, to at least meet some people.
Yeah, it seems like he wasn't interested in meeting the people necessarily. Otherwise, he wouldn't have just walked away like that, I guess. But
yeah, no, I would have. I wouldn't have minded walking away from the game, but I would have tried to bask in the glow a little bit too. There,
I agree.
Well, I feel like there's something else that we could keep on.
Is this the Colorado thing?
Rolling with.
Speaking of rolling.
Yeah, no, I just recently went up to Colorado, and there was an article about all the jobs, or, well...
What's this? I've been reading something about Colorado, it seems like, in the news recently. Did they do something?
Yeah, they may have legalized pot.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's always of interest. And yeah, you're allowed to buy it at stores, whether you're a citizen or not.
It's kind of like a liquor store sort of deal they got there.
Yeah, it's kind of a liquor store.
Now, did you see any of these stores while you were?
I did see some of the stores. I'm not completely. I didn't go in. I guess we were with a child most of the time. So that's probably a good reason not to do so.
You probably wouldn't bring a child into a liquor store, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I definitely know people that do that, and...
you look down on those people.
Yeah, I do.
You see them as less than.
You gotta have a little bit of decorum. I'm not asking for a lot. Just a little bit. At least leave the kid out in the car.
Right, that's better for everybody.
While you go in.
Yeah. I get it. All right. Yeah.
You come out with a paper bag. No one's the wiser.
Sure. They don't.
The kid
see.
Doesn't know you're an alcoholic. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And the kid doesn't know that it's their fault.
Hopefully, don't call the police that you're leaving the car. The kid in the car. So, you know, maybe you want to park around the corner or something.
Make sure there's no light around.
Yes. So there. That was our. Advice to alcoholic parents this week.
Another poll. Should we give advice to alcoholic parents every week?
How about
on
this?
The show?
Should you bring your kid into a liquor store? That's a good poll.
Ken says yes. I say no. So we.
Prove one of us wrong, people.
Yeah, we have agreed to disagree. And. We will keep on moving on, but it was just kind of interesting. Well, it would have been nice to take advantage. I would not have done anything like, you know, ship it back to myself. But
when in Rome.
You know, I did get to partake while I was out there, and there was definitely no argument about that.
Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah.
Isn't
because
that ironic, though?
They have quite a variety that you can choose from.
Yeah. Because they take. I think that the people that are growing it, like I read a couple articles too, it seems like they're like really into it. And, you know, it's not like a commercial operation like it would be for like tobacco, you know? It's like. The people growing it are...
Well, I can see it going... Like, if it gets legalized in more states, like, I can see it end up being a larger chain situation. And people with a head start in Colorado or... It was Washington was the other state, correct?
True. Although I'm not sure if they're as far along as Colorado is.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard as much about that.
Gotcha.
Because Colorado was like kind of buttoned up with what they were going to do. They had a pretty good plan.
Yeah, and they had the medical too. I'm not sure if Washington had the medical already or not.
I feel like they didn't have as much of a medical thing maybe.
Okay. Well, yeah, it just seems like that Colorado is more prepared at least to at least be the incubation center for the time being.
Yeah. It seems to be everything seems to be working pretty well for them.
Yeah, and they say that they've added between 1,000 and 3,000 jobs, I believe, was the estimate. I didn't pull up the article there.
Yeah, I know that they had also gained something like $7 million in tax revenues. So, seems like this is going to be a spreading trend similar to gambling when people start to realize there's money to be made from it.
Yeah, no, and they, because I'm trying to think if they've mentioned any problems with, you know, with it, but I don't think there's currently
about 10,000 people directly involved with marijuana, with 1,000 to 2,000 joining in the past few months, and more expected as high demand, get it, for recreational marijuana continues.
Yeah, so. And I mean, it's not a solution for all the ills of the world.
No, just a few of them.
For sure. Yeah. But a few of them, and...
It doesn't seem like it would hurt economically or, you know, otherwise.
Right.
So...
And, yeah, no, I wouldn't mind if Ohio, started signing on to this, this kind of, thinking, but I don't think that's gonna happen.
Maybe Pennsylvania will do it. They, they just did, gay marriage over there in Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, they did.
The judge,
mm-hmm.
struck that, ban down, so that'll be interesting. And then I think in Michigan they have medical marijuana now, but it's like you have to grow it yourself or something.
Oh, I'm not familiar with all of the various states and their laws on marijuana.
I've done a little bit of research into it, you know, just out of curiosity. So,
gotcha.
It's interesting stuff. And I think that people will end up copying what Colorado has done in other states. And right. basically just using their whole plan and kind of bringing it over.
So, yeah, excellent.
We'll see what happens.
Well,
stay tuned, kids.
In lieu of that, currently, Ken and I, during this episode, have consumed. I saw this at the Kenny Road Market, and I couldn't pass it up because this is the last one. And it's from a company called Clown Shoes that's out of Massachusetts. It's Ohio Unidragon, Russian Imperial Stout. And it's made for exclusive distribution in Ohio. And,
hey, that's appropriate for our podcast.
Yeah, no, I thought it was appropriate. They make a very tasty, black IPA that's called Hoppy Feet, that is definitely worth, trying. So that's what I was just like,
Yeah, this one's a good beer, definitely on the darker side. And I'm guessing not a session beer.
Imperial Stout, the Imperial part implies, double strength, and, I'm not sure if it, lists the, ABV here.
Got some nice artwork there, some,
Oh, yeah, definitely, not, sessionable beer at 11.5%.
Oh, yeah, so that's kind of what they would call a, barley wine, do they say that? Have you heard that before?
I've heard that, but I thought that was something different.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I thought a stout was an imperial stout was an imperial stout.
Oh, you're probably right about that. But that's almost to wine levels there.
Yeah, no. Wine levels are usually around 13. So since we only split the pint and the 22... here that I got, it did not completely kick our ass, but that is definitely the sippy time beer of the week.
You don't want to try to polish off a couple of those bottles.
No. Yeah, just, and I guess I checked. Like, I feel like there was another state that I saw there, so they might be doing other exclusives.
Oh, so be on the lookout, people.
Yeah, because I don't know why they just do one in Ohio. Like, that seems
unless
a little strange.
They're not from Ohio, are they?
No, Massachusetts. Oh. Ipswich, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it seems strange that they would be fans of Ohio.
Yeah.
Where they would just make one beer for Ohio.
And I know that our buddy Tim in Pittsburgh recently tried some Clown Shoes. So I definitely know that it gets into Pennsylvania also.
Sweet. Check it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's the Sippy Time Beer of the Week. Are you going to send us off, or am I going to send us off? No. Or do I still need to do plugs?
You can go ahead and send us off. I think we're good.
Okie dokie. Well, grandkids, hope you enjoyed another edition of OPA, and cheers.
Later.